I'm happy to have Peggy on this call. And you know, the key thing here is you know, you guys, maybe we got to test out Zoom among yourselves just to make sure, you know, it's operating you know, properly. That'll go a long way to help get some consistency. What I thought I'd do today, I know that there's a lot to cover and there's probably some questions. So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna zoom through what was covered in chapter one. And Peggy, if you're hearing me okay, I suggest that you download the Supernova coaching guide, and then you will take that and put it in a notebook, and then get some tabs and tab it out 1 through 12, each of the chapters. So there are videos that will also, Peggy, catch you up on weeks 1 through 3. I'm going to give you all a brief synopsis of what was covered on week 1 and 2. Then we'll get in the materials on week 3. So I hope you all don't get too bored, but this is an effort to bring Peggy on board. Now, when we're coaching teams, oftentimes, well, not often, it's important to have the CA dial into the calls as well. So to the extent that we can get the CA on each call for at least 30 minutes once a week, that would be helpful. And she will also need a guidebook, okay? So that she understands the whole format of what everybody's trying to accomplish, because she's a very integral part of your team. So if you wouldn't mind, get the well, I want to get the CA's commitment to being on the call for 30 minutes once a week, and get me the email address so that we can have materials sent to her and have her on the next call so she can catch up. So Supernova, we all start with, and I like these calls to be interactive, so I don't really necessarily enjoy having you guys muted up, but until we get the technology straight, we may have to do that for just this session and get it straightened out next time. So on chapter one, what we deal with is customer segmentation. It's not the traditional segmentation where you have an A, B, C, and D book, okay? That's like non-existent in Supernova. There's just one segment, and those are the clients that you keep. So there's no tiering in Supernova. What we're trying to do here is get down to your core business. The 80/20 rule is that 20% of your clients give you 80% of your revenue. We want to get into time management. We want to set up your target minimum and your absolute minimum, and that is the absolute minimum client that you're willing to accept. And I suggest that that minimum be established right now, from what I know of your production, at about $500,000. For Gail, that target is probably running around $250,000, but eventually what we want to do in the course of a year, have Gail targeting $500,000 relationships or more. Okay? So, your absolute minimum, Gail, is going to be $250,000. Your target is $500,000. Now, and how do we get that number? We take the 20% of the clients that do 80% of the business, and we basically look at the total production and divide it by the number of client relationships, and that's going to give you an average. So the target should be slightly above the average by way of review. So let's just take an example. Let's say that let's say that you have 100 relationships, and your total production is, I'm going to use simple numbers. I'm going to say it's $1 million. Okay. So if I took $1 million and I divided it by 80, that's going to roughly be, hold on. That's going to roughly be somewhere around 12.5, okay? Now, that's a big number. Now, I'm going to take, that's 80%. That's 80% of a million, okay? Now, if I take...
Hey, Curtis. Peggy says she's trying to get into the room on another device.
Okay.
I don't know if you see it or not.
Okay. So as soon as she pops in, we'll do that. Okay. So so the math is fairly simple. 80% of a million is about 800,000, right? So you take that $800,000, and then that gives you the target asset threshold that you are looking at, because 20% of your book is based that way. Okay? So what you have to do is you've got to figure out what that number represents to you. Okay? So take 80 times whatever your total production is. Let's do that. Have you figured out your target, Charles?
I'm going to be right now. 500,000 is my minimum. My target is 750.
Okay. Right. I remember us talking about that. And Gail, what's your target? What's your target, Gail? In terms of client that you're going after.
Wasn't it 500 and then the minimum is 250?
Okay. Very good. Minimum 250. Very good. All right. So now we got the absolute minimum and we got the targets for two team members. Now, Peggy, we've got to get your targets in there as well. Okay. So by next week, you should be able to tell me what your target minimum is and what your absolute minimum is. Now, what's the maximum number of clients you're going to deal with, Charles? Is it 100 or 85?
100. No, 100.
100. Okay. So 100 is the maximum number of client relationships. And Gail, your maximum number of clients?
I guess I'll go with the same, unless okay. There's a recommendation.
So right now, start with 100. That's the maximum amount. Now, let's say that in a 30-day time horizon, okay, you want to be able to reach every client once per month. Okay, so when we set you up with the scheduler, all the clients go in, and that's basically, you know, if you talk to 5 clients a day, that's going to be 25 per week. times 4 equals 100. So now we're building this concierge service, right? Where every client gets touched once per month. So if I'm an outside observer and I walk into your office, I'm going to see for that day that your CA has placed 5 folders on your desk, Charles, and 5 folders on Gail's desk for contact. So 4 or 5. But you're going to get to, so that, therefore, if you are doing 5 contacts a day, there goes, you know, half your workday right there. And we've got to have time for client acquisition. So that's why you can have no more than 100 relationships in delivering the service. So do we understand that point? That's kind of a review. Do we fully understand that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why when you see guys with 300 or 400 client relationships, no way on the face of the planet can they deliver the concierge type service, 12-4-2. Therefore, they can't get referrals. Therefore, they're stuck and they can't really grow their practice because they have no time to spend on client acquisition. So that's really, really important. So you're building this wall of competence around your business. Now you've screened your clients and you screen them based on the production, the asset thresholds. Are they likable? Are they trustworthy? Do they accept your advice? Are they profitable? And is there an opportunity for future growth? And can any of them be a center of influence? Now, they don't have to meet all 8 criteria, but they probably got to meet 5 or 6 of these criteria to remain as a client. Okay. Now, what's your service model? Your service model is 12-4-2. What does that mean? You provide each client with 12 contacts a year. 4 of those contacts are reviews. 2 of the 4 are in-person reviews. Now we're talking virtual. And the other 2 are telephonic. A 1-hour response to problems with a 12-hour resolution. Okay. Now, if you get that done, I've already had clients bringing FAs more money because they've upgraded their service model. Okay. So, proactive client service using 12-4-2, multi-generational planning. That means every client gets a plan. Okay. A 1-hour response to problems with a 24-hour resolution. You should be able to articulate that as your new value proposition. Okay. I think we lost Peggy. All right.
Yeah, I think so. She was waiting to be let into the room, and I'm not sure whether that happened or not.
Okay. Well, let's see. 1 person waiting. Let's see. Okay. Hey, Peggy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm trying to use my other computer.
Okay. So we'll use Zoom next time, but I have you by call. So we're just doing a brief review. I'm going to, I told you that after this call, I'm going to take another 15 minutes with you after Gail and Charles sign off. So we're reviewing the service model, which is a concept called 12-4-2. That's 12 contacts four client appointments, and with two of the appointments being in-person reviews. A one-hour response to client problems with a 24-hour resolution.
Okay.
We talked about getting down to the core where no FA has more than 100 relationships. The ideal number in our segmentation strategy is 85.
Okay. I heard most of it. I've been listening to you. I was trying to switch over to my other server to get on.
Okay. Now, the guidebook on page 14 has a sample letter for introducing the new service model to clients. Okay. And and I want to know right now, Gail or Charles, have you used the letter with any clients up to this point? I know it's only been our second call. Today's the third. Have we started to introduce the concept to any client? It's just kind of want you to respond to that.
Yes, but not with the letter. We still have to work out the logistics for the letter because we can't print them here. So they have to be printed at the printer at the office.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's some protocols that we have to follow to go. I've been in the office like once or twice since March, and I think it's something that can be worked out, but it's doable. We just have to just finalize the protocols.
Okay, good. And keep in mind, we want to get the CA on the next call once a week for at least 30 minutes on the call. All right. So the stair step to the stars, you can kind of see my hands, okay? So all of a sudden, Gail, your minimum is now 250. Your target is 500, okay? Within a 12-month time frame, you're going to raise your minimum to probably 500, and you're going to raise your target to like 750. Charles, right now, your minimum is 500,000, and your target client relationship is 750. Within 12 months, we're going to raise that from 500 minimum to 750 with a target of 1,000,000. Okay? That's called stair step to the stars. So, Peggy, that part of it is for you to think about what your target minimum is going to be in terms of client that you want to go after. And then what's your target? What's your minimum? And then what's your target? Okay?
Okay. Now,
I kind of reviewed how we arrive at that. And you're going to get some videos to watch, which will catch you up on sessions 1 and 2. So that's why I'm doing a little bit of review right now. So we've already covered your absolute minimum and doing the math. That's the hardest thing to deal with in segmentation. The second hardest thing is to actually decide on clients that you're no longer going to work with that don't meet your minimum criteria. Hard part. Okay. So I'm going to keep testing you on your minimums and the clients that you're going to keep because we've got to right size the business in order to grow.
Okay. If you would like, I'm on the video. If you want to let me in, I got a six.
Okay. Good.
You have to let me in the room. Okay.
Okay. I think I just did. Okay. There
it
we go.
It should work this time.
Okay.
I had to go. I was changing all my settings. So.
Okay.
Come on.
I think you're connecting right now. Now you'll need to go down to that icon. There you are. Very good, Peggy. I can see you. Welcome aboard. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. We're starting to get this whole team together. Okay. I'm so excited.
Just takes us a little while.
Okay. So, now we covered by way of review, and I'm spending a little extra time with you guys because I want to get Peggy on board. Why do we want appointments instead of just calling you when I need something? Well, look, how many of you, the analogy is like this. Drop by the dentist's office. How about a cleaning today? No, you can't do that. Or I happen to be in the neighborhood, Mr. Lawyer. You know, I'd like to talk to you about a civil action, you know, that I'm involved with. No, that's not how we're going to operate. Clients are going to have appointments. Okay. And you're going to have to train them, you know, to be on your monthly appointments so that your day is not cluttered and out of control. They know when their call is going to take place. Okay. Now, some clients may say, why do you want to meet with me once a month? They're used to, like with their CPAs, maybe hearing from them twice a year. What's your response? We're in volatile times, changing dynamics. Your situation may change. Kids get married. You know, bonuses come in. All kinds of things that affect a person's financial situation. So, you know, you've dealt with many of them. So, these touch-base calls are 15 to 20 minutes in length. The reviews are 45 minutes in length. Okay? We're going to talk to you about how to do all that. And they may say, aren't we already talking more often than once a month? You're going to leave the door open. We may talk at other times, but this will be a formal call. That means you're going to be driving the agendas. We're going to show you how to set that up. You know, the day where the business is controlling you and you not controlling the business is going to end. You're going to be controlling the business when the calls take place and the client agendas. I start off every call with, before we get started, I have an agenda. But I want to hear, are there anything that you want to discuss that we previously talked about or anything on your mind? You're going to do the same thing with the client. I have an agenda, but before we get started, is there anything in particular you want to talk about? Yes, I sold my business and I had a $5 million windfall. I want to talk about that. Well, that's going to make the other things that you wanted to talk about less of a priority. Because if you don't get to what's on the client's mind, you can't have that other part of the conversation, right? So that's why you engage in that way. What if we don't have
a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
So you mentioned that the review time is 40 minutes in length, and then you said the other what's the time frame again?
So the sit-down reviews, which are a little more formal, are about 45 minutes in length. The telephonic reviews are about 30 minutes in length. Okay? Now, that means that you've done a financial plan, and there are things that need to be implemented and executed on the financial plan. Because your value prop and your service model is a concierge service, 12 customer contacts, 4 appointments, 2 of the 4 appointments are reviews, and 2 are telephonic reviews, a 1-hour response to problems with a 24-hour resolution, having a financial plan and intergenerational planning. You'll need to get used to articulating that as your value prop because it differentiates you from the other FAs that are out there. Now, the client might also say, well, what if I can't make that call on that time frame? There may be times when they're on vacation, they can't make a meeting. So in that case, we'll skip that month or we'll reschedule for a time that's more convenient. Okay? Either one. Okay? Then we talked about niche markets, natural and target. And we talked about the your natural market is like if I worked at IBM and I joined Morgan Stanley, then folks involved with IBM might be a natural market for me. That's kind of a background I came in with. And so I might have a expertise dealing with software engineers, computer scientists, sales professionals, all representing IBM. The difference is you're going to dig deep inside that company. You're going to find out everything there is to know. You're going to get research reports. Who runs HR? You know, how's it broken down into divisions? How many employees in that service model? How do they award stock options? What is their retirement plan, 401k? What does that look like? You're going to learn everything there is to know about the company. You're going to learn the pain points of that market. What do I mean by pain point? A pain point is, let's say a small business owner. Pain point might be cash flow management, protecting key employees from leaving. Okay? Those are the things that maybe keep them up at night. It could be marketing. It could be their lines of credit or credit facilities. Your job is to figure out the pain points of the market that you're embracing. So sometimes people will tell me, look, I like working with doctors. What's the pain point in dealing with the doctors? They got no time. They're too busy. They're hard to reach. They need things done. They form professional corporations. They got pensions. They got all kinds of issues. So your job is to find out what the pain points are in that market, if that's one of your markets. Okay. Did I send you the article on identifying the pain points in your market, in your niche market? Okay. So I would read that. And I also have some links on some of the markets that you all can go after, you know, within this. So let me stop and ask you some questions about the markets you're going after right now. And what do you think some of the pain points are? So Gail, give me a market that you're going after. And it can't be people that have money, although that's important too. So get yourself on.
I'm sorry, you guessed it.
Okay.
Well, like we spoke about last week, bodybuilding is a natural market. And as I was thinking about it more, my university, Rutgers University, is a natural market. And then my target niche, I mentioned before women-owned businesses, and one of the things that I recognize down here, there are a lot of women-owned businesses that are in like spa beauty businesses, you know? And so there's a lot of them out there. Also a lot of women-owned dental practices. So those are just to name a few of the target niches that I'm looking at.
Okay.
So my natural market would be like bodybuilding, professional women, you know, just because that's kind of a general niche. I have a lot of friends who are professionals.
Okay.
My university, my church, and then target market is women-owned businesses. And then I'm trying to drill it down to like spa, beauty, you know.
Okay. So let's,
et cetera.
Let's break this down. It's, you have a lot of markets. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, There's five markets that you're focused on. Okay. That might be for now too many.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get this consolidated. So I'm going to ask you some questions. We're going to play devil's advocate here. What is significant about women bodybuilders and the amount of assets that they control?
Well, when I talk about bodybuilding, I'm not just focusing on specific to women bodybuilders. What happens is when you go to bodybuilding competitions, what are there are a lot of businesses, like nutrition businesses. For example, when I competed in this one business, I mean, it was a huge, huge event, and there were a number of small business owners there, all related to that field, but nutrition companies and, you know, et cetera. So it's okay. More of that.
Let me inject a point then. We need to transform that to health and wellness now becomes a target market. So you don't define your market as body in the bodybuilding business. You define them as I have an expertise in the health and wellness market. Okay. And mm-hmm. Now you begin to learn who the suppliers are, the vendors for all kinds of health products, protein, creatine, all this stuff that these bodybuilders deal with. You go online to bodybuilding.com and you figure out, you know, what are they doing? What are they buying? And what walks of life do these people come from? I mean, I think that a bodybuilder, some could be doctors, some could be lawyers, anybody that's in that health and wellness, but you are approaching it from a health and wellness perspective. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now, what are the pain points in the health and wellness business? Okay.
People, well, definitely cash flow, because it's very expensive.
Okay. So they're concerned about cash flow. They're concerned about, you know, marketing and reaching an audience. Okay. See, some of these people are so smart about nutrition and that sort of thing, but they're not smart about the value add, which is how do I market myself? What's my website interface look like? Who's my audience? How can I expand? Okay. How can I get reach? And they're concerned about managing their cash flow, retaining key salespeople. So you got to get up to understanding what the pain points are in that market. Now I'm going to just take one more and drill down so that you do this every time you're thinking about a market. I'm going to take Rutgers University. Okay. Now, okay. So Rutgers has, a very large alumni. They probably have an alumni group on LinkedIn. So are you on LinkedIn with the Rutgers alumni group?
Not South Florida. I tried getting in with them, but they didn't let me in. Imagine that.
Okay. You graduated from there. And
yes,
the alumni and the alumni wouldn't let you in.
Well, it's regional, so I mean, you know.
Oh, it's regional.
They have like multiple.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
try again.
Most beneficial.
Try again. Mm-hmm. And I would use words like, I know you all are progressive enough to want to have an African American who happens to be a female as a part of your organization. Okay? Start, you know, mm-hmm. kind of use that. But I want you to drill down. Now, within Rutgers, who do you want to deal with? There's people that graduated from law school. There's people that graduated from business school. And Rutgers is located in that whole biotech, Bristol-Myers, J&J, all of that stuff.
Merger.
So is that one of your markets? So I want you to drill down. So I want you to drill down on me here. Too broad. Once you get focused, bring it in.
Okay.
All right. So do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to have five. Right now, I want you to have two really good ones that you're focused on mm-hmm. that can distinguish you from everybody else, where you have a full knowledge of that market. Okay. Charles, give me two markets.
My focus is going to be my school alumni association. I've just gotten access to a database called Wealth Engine, where it segments out the high net worth members of the association. And I think with my involvement with the foundation that I serve on the board of the foundation, I think that will allow me, that will give me some credibility to reach out to these people and also access the board members that I'm already, interacting with on a regular basis. I want to, now I have some family members that
are. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
What school did you go to?
Tennessee State in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Oh, Tennessee State. Is that a traditional historically black college?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the pain points? Access to information, competent investment advice, finding another African American in the business. That's competent. Okay. You know, who are the major firms that recruit from Tennessee State? I think FedEx is one of them. So you've got to get to the alumni and then find out those pain points and drill down. Who do they know that you would like to have as clients? Who do they work for that you would like to have as clients? Okay.
I just made some very good contacts with HR VPs that are alumni. And, you know, we've already had conversations. So just based off of what we talked about last week, I reached out to them again. And so, that ball is starting to roll right now, so I appreciate that. I also want to go after, I have some family and friends that have been in the pharma industry for a long time, and they're all starting to retire now. And their friends are starting to retire. So that ball is rolling as well. And I also have, my big elephant hunting, if you want to call it that, is other university foundations. I think that, once again, the fact that I'm on this board, I have some credibility with the phone call. And
let me ask you this. Morgan Stanley has Greystone. And Greystone
focused on
philanthropic services, endowments, so on and so forth. Have you identified someone that you could partner with at Greystone Capital?
Well, I did, then he got fired, so I have to find another one. Okay. So I've had two. One guy, you know, it just didn't work out. It was just a personality conflict, and then the other got fired. So, I have to identify one more person to assist me with that.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I'm cultivating these relationships. Normally there's a conference that the foundation, the boards have every year. It's at a different location every year, but with the pandemic, there was no conference. So that's normally where those relationships are established. But I do have some friends. Like I have one friend, he's on the board at Savannah State. So, you know, that will take a minute to just kind of sort itself out. But in the meantime, these other markets, they should continue to provide clients for us.
Okay. I think you're going to need a partner. Because I could be wrong, but I don't know that you are an expert in endowments and philanthropic services at this point. Or are you?
I am. You know, I've been on the finance committee for the past 5 years. So, I mean, I am deeply involved in this foundation, so I know what the issues are. I know the issues that we have.
You know how to deliver Morgan Stanley's platform.
I do, but the thing is, I don't want to, meaning that it's my desire to partner with a Greystone person who does this every day.
Exactly.
And sharing the revenue.
Okay. So that's your goal for the next couple of weeks, is to identify someone that you can partner with. Check them out, interview them, and find out, you know, who they're currently working with, and let them know, you can begin to let them know, I've got some educational institutions I'm working with that may have a need for our capabilities as a firm, and I'd like to find out what your area of expertise might be. Okay. So, Peggy, do you have, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot so early in the game because this is just your first call, but is there a market that you feel comfortable with? Okay, why don't you disclose that?
I like to work with a lot of single women, 50 and over, usually that have some type of philanthropic type background or that are very involved in nonprofits. I tend to get along with them very well and be able to meld into that. And that's how I brought in a lot of the book that we already have, that I've already brought in.
You see this book? This book is called Supernova Advisor Teams, a book I wrote.
Okay.
There's a chapter in here that talks about diverse teams and niche markets. Women, I think at the time I wrote the book, control over $11.2 trillion in philanthropic and other related assets. Great market. We should be very aggressive going after those markets. So I'm seeing a thread here that philanthropic capabilities has got to become an expertise on this team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone on the website, the Center for Nonprofit Management? So there's some websites, you know, that are geared toward that. So what I'm getting at here is we want you to become an expert in the markets that you're going after. You got to know how they think, where they are, what's on their minds. Okay. And how to get access to that money. Okay. Very good.
Right.
So that takes us through, that component. And then we got into, this concept of, COI, Centers of Influence. Let me just make some comments on that for a moment, because you're going to hear me talk about this over and over again. So all these concepts aren't going to be like one and then gone, never to be heard from again. But a center of influence is somebody that will actually refer people to you. And they're capable of referring at least 12 individuals to you on an annual basis. You understand their business, they understand yours, and they understand your service model, and they're willing to refer. I want you to cultivate 6 centers of influence. 6. Okay? Now, you may already have some, but I want you to have 6 per person in total. Okay? Now, Gail, for you, it might be somebody who's involved in health and wellness. It might be somebody who's an alumni at Rutgers that picks up the phone and calls those folks that wouldn't let you in. Hey, what are you guys smoking? Let her in. Okay? I have a friend who's a part-time professor at Rutgers, Robert Latimer. I don't know if you ever took a class from him or not. He's a management consultant on strategy. And when you're ready, I'll give you his name. Great guy.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
You're ready?
I am.
Okay, well, I should probably call him first, don't you think? But he lives in Atlanta, actually.
Okay.
Hold on. It's not every time somebody that's coaching you gives you a name.
I know, and I appreciate it greatly.
Okay. Let's see here.
P.S. I'm on LinkedIn as we speak.
Oh, yeah, on LinkedIn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, you're quick. Doing that faster than I can look it up on my phone.
That's okay. Is it Robert Latimer?
That's him.
I won't make a move. I'm waiting for you. But I see him out here.
I'm trying to find his phone number. We talk at least once a month. Contacts.
We actually have 3 people in common.
Okay. So his number is 404-731-6119.
Okay.
He could be a strong center of influence for you. Okay. So let's talk about brand for a moment by way of review again. Your brand is Supernova. That's part of your service model. It's part of your value proposition. Okay. Any questions about that? It's your 1242. It's your 1-hour response to problems. It's the 24-hour resolution. It's making sure everybody that comes into the fold has a financial plan and that you work on intergenerational planning. Now, one of the things, Peggy, that we also discussed is this concept of what's called a butler. Now, these are clients that don't meet your minimum, but you know, you can't get rid of so-and-so's auntie. You got to keep them. They don't measure up with the assets, but you gotta keep them. They get a 4-1 service. Okay. That means 4 contacts and 1 review. Right. So 3 butlers equal 1 client. So when you're looking at your 100 that you're going to keep, or the 85 that you're going to keep, 3 butlers equal 1 client relationship. Now, you don't want to fill your book up with just butlers, right? But for those that you have to keep, 3 of them, you know, are equal 1 client relationship. Okay. Now, in chapter 3, we've done the review. Going forward, you probably have read everything that there is to read about the 5-star leadership model. Okay? So what that is that's taking each person and getting them into some level of functional expertise. Okay? And so what we do is, these are informal names, not corporate names, but each person has a title, and you may have 2. And that just points to the area of responsibility. Someone has got to be the director of planning. That doesn't mean that they do all the planning. That means that they are accountable for making sure that planning gets executed on the team. Okay? That every client has a plan. Then there's the director of plan implementation. So this is the person that oversees the investment process. And then there's the director of brand. And this is the service model, making sure that the clients are scheduled, that nobody falls through the cracks. Now, that person ideally is supposed to be your CSA, and that's why that person needs to start being on every one of these calls, at least the 30-minute portion of the call. So those are all client-centered functions. Okay? And they're making sure that if somebody calls, they get a return phone call. A 1-hour response to problems with a 24-hour resolution. Nothing falls through the cracks. So those are all client-centered functions. What I'd like you all to do is to discuss among yourselves what member of the team can be accountable for making sure that those 3 functions get driven. Okay. Now there's team-centered functions. These functions are director of growth and marketing. They're going to be accountable for making sure that the team is executing on client acquisition strategies, which doesn't come till chapter 8. We're in 3 right now, but I want you to identify that person. That doesn't mean that none of you aren't involved in client acquisition, but somebody's got the measuring stick, said, hey, look, we had 3 prospect meetings. How come we didn't have 6? And of those 6, we converted 3. How come we didn't convert 5? You know, we're raising the bar. We're holding somebody accountable. The director of leadership. This is the person And it's not always the top producer that's the director of leadership on a team, but it's the person who gels the team, brings the team together, making sure that things are focused and are productive. So you need to talk among yourselves, even in horizontal teams. If nobody's accountable, then nothing gets done. Okay? So we need to figure out who's going to be that director of leadership. And if you need to break some of the functions down among two people to have shared responsibilities and accountability, that's okay too. So next week, I want you to be prepared to talk about who's accountable for what on the team. Now, the responsibility for the oversight of the segmentation strategy, that's not a one-time event. That's ongoing. Organization. The next thing you need to do is you need to set up a call with Cindy Bowie and learn how to use the scheduling tool. And if that doesn't happen for 2 weeks, that's fine. But you all should just be on that call. She'll meet with the team and take you through the Supernova scheduler. Okay. Now, compliance in all these firms is getting really, really heavy. But interestingly enough, is if you implement 1242, you'll make your compliance folks really, really happy. All right. So study up on the five-star model, director of planning, director of implementation, director of brand management, director of leadership, what those roles and responsibilities are. Okay. And the thing I'll say about leaders, you've all probably have experienced some leaders, some you like, some you didn't like, but the optimum thing about leadership on these teams is you're a servant leader. You're there to serve. You're there to guide, not to be an autocratic ruler. So leadership has to keep that in mind in working with teams. Otherwise, teams get to this thing we call team dysfunction. And there's this elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk about it. Okay. All right. Read the section on gaps, gap analysis. It's on page 38. And really kind of think about what you all are good at and what you need to improve upon: planning, plan implementation, brand service, marketing growth, and leadership. Well, in the beginning, you're probably going to say, you know, we got to work on all those things, but what are the specific things that can help elevate this team? And then be prepared to discuss that with me. Okay. All right. And the final thing that we get into is folders. We'll hold that off for discussion next week when we do our review, because this has been a little bit of a lengthy call. Now, we covered a lot in this to transform your practice. Tell me what you are thinking right now in terms of everything that you got today. What did you value today? What did you get out of our session today? We'll go around the corner. Since you're the newbie, Peggy, what did you pick up on some of this?
Well, I think narrowing, you know, and really focusing in on our target market, because we're all similar in some ways, but, you know, we need to understand more about nonprofits and understanding how to deal with them a little better. So that was a really good idea. And just, you know, getting the scheduling and our roles down. We have some general roles, but nothing set in stone. So right. I think that's something that we can really drill down on.
Okay. Good. Good. Charles? Chuck? Tell me what you may have got.
Tell me what you may have got.
Yeah, the 5-star is going to be critical for us. We definitely need to narrow the roles, and you know, we've got to talk through that. Okay. But I think I mean we had something like that before. We were kind of, but it wasn't. It was more like, okay, you do this and I'll do that, and you know, it was.
But there was no, maybe no accountability.
There was no, maybe no accountability.
Right, exactly. There was no accountability. And so I think that that's what we have to talk about.
Okay, perfect. Gail, what do you think you got out of this today?
For me, and it's really a combination of two things. It's the team structure, which is really drilling down to the whole 5-star model and what we should be doing, when we should be doing it. And we started doing that initially, but you know, when things kind of, you know, changed,
life got in the way.
Happened, yeah. And, exactly. We really got away from doing that. And I, you know, what I really like to see more of is having meetings. I really work well in structure and, you know, having those meetings, talking about the roles, you know, what they are, and having that accountability piece in place. Cause I think we could go really far. I think we could just do so well, but it's, you know, having that discipline and, you know, making sure we have our roles and we're accountable. And I think we can really go far. So.
I really do. I think I'm seeing a lot of potential here. I really am seeing a lot of potential. And don't think that some of the subjects that get lightly addressed, we don't drill down on them even deeper as we move through the program. So these are concepts that'll be revisited for sure. Okay. I think we've talked a lot about what's expected for the next time we're together. Any final questions about anything that we covered today?
I have a question for, briefly, the mastermind group. Are we going to talk about that next week? Or, because it was, you know, in this week's session, but, you know, under the circumstances, maybe we'll push it out to next week.
We can talk about it's one element of client acquisition that we use, in terms of, mastermind groups. So I'm going to make a note. I'm going to send you this guidebook on how to form a mastermind group. And we'll send it to all of you, because look, if each of you had 2 mastermind groups, okay, and everybody's working for the mutual support of each other, and each mastermind group is feeding you clients, you'd easily be bringing in from one mastermind group 8 to 10 relationships. If you had 2, you'd be bringing in 20. Times the 3 of you, that'd be 60. And you'd have to keep raising the bar on who you're willing to work with, because your billable hours are going to go up. Okay? So, yeah, that's where we're certainly going in that direction. So I'm going to send you this whole guidebook
on how to form a mastermind group that goes beyond what we talked about in Supernova. And we talk about it some more in client acquisition. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I did have a quick question. You said that you had mentioned that we have to drill our book down to like 100 clients. And,
right.
You know, every three of your small clients would equal one bigger client. Is that per person in the group or overall is the whole team?
Yeah, each team member can have no more than 100 relationships.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's the only thing I was not sure which way you were going with that.
Yeah, getting down to 85 would probably be better given, you know, the 30-day time frame we work around for the monthly calls, just so you don't get overwhelmed, because what we want to do is, you know, get this practice, you know, growing to like, you know, 2 million, 2.5, that sort of thing. But let's, you know, let's get to 1.5 million, 1.7 million, 1.8 million first, and then we'll do that. But that's how we're going to do it, with the stair step to the stars and having time to deliver the service model and then work your niche markets.
Okay.
But great question. Okay. So, so I've made a note on the mastermind group for you, Chuck. I'll be sending that out. So when I say start each call with what's on your mind, what do you want to talk about, you raise that issue, and we'll talk about it. Okay. Great. I'm going to give you a little analogy. This will be personal. So if I'm going to be an expert working with financial advisors, what do you think I'm reading? Financial IQ, Financial Planning Magazine, Investment News Daily, Trust Advisor, Advisor Hub, to name a few. So if you're going after the pharmaceutical industry, what are the trade journals you should be reading? You're going after health and wellness. What trade journals should you be reading? You're going after, and what websites should you be looking at to become an expert?
Yeah.
There you go.
And I
will tell you
this. I have
this.
A question.
I'm going to finish the other part, and then we'll go right to you, Gail. The other thing that I was wanting to tell you in terms of the mastermind group, I have one, and it's got 8 managers on it, and I focus on the needs of that group, and we grow around the table. What are you dealing with? Wow, man, they want me to recruit. And we start talking about that. I put together an agenda with about 25 topics. And we just, each week we go through them. And now I'm going to start shifting who moderates each of the sessions. And they bring me referrals of people I need to talk with. So that's the benefit of a mastermind group. Of 7 of them that I've been working with and coaching, they've all been promoted at least once, with one being promoted 3 times. So, you know, that gives you an idea, and we're very picky about who we let in. And that's how you're going to be. You're going to develop a mastermind group. That might be a CPA, it might be a lawyer, might be a commercial real estate broker that knows who's coming into a building, what have you. It might be a board of, you know, a member of a board of directors. Okay. So we'll talk about that and how they operate. Next call. Great question.
Okay.
So Gail, back to you.
So in terms of how often we should meet as a team, what are some suggestions that you have for us?
Okay, so we're going to get into that too. You know, there's the one thing that we have is called the team huddle. That's a 10-minute meeting. And that's where each member of the team says, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm working on. This is where I could use some help. And this is where other members of the team chime in. Okay. That's called the team huddle. We're going to talk about, what's called the weekly game board meeting, where those things that this team wants to measure, you meet at the end of the week or on a Monday and you talk about what the team is doing, what's going well, what's not going so well, what do we need to improve upon, where are we lacking in terms of implementing Supernova and the service model. Okay? We'll get into that. And the person who's responsible for making sure that those meetings happen is, number one, the leader of the team, and number two, the head of practice management, which is the CA, making sure that those meetings are scheduled and they run consistent for everybody. So when you look at your calendar, you know, on, you know, every day, maybe it starts off 3 days, but eventually maybe it gets to four. You got a 10-minute huddle, maybe once in the morning and then once in the afternoon. You know, what happened today? Oh man, I got stuck on this and stuck on that. You know, how we fix this on the team. Okay. So that's how this stuff works. So you're just like only theoretically, you're only in your, like your third session out of the 12 intense ones that we go through. Okay. And anything, questions, problems, issues, concerns, bring them up just like you do now. Okay. Great question. All right.
Okay.
So, Peggy's going to stay on, for just a couple of minutes, and then the rest of you are going to disengage and we're going to see you on the next time. Okay.
Okay.
And I apologize for this.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah. Well, thanks for going over. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Anytime. Mm-hmm. You take care. Bye bye.
Thanks.
Okay, Gail. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Peggy, this was the
Sorry
first
about session. That, Ron, technology-wise.
Oh, that's okay. So this was the first session, and this is kind of how they go. Very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody chiming in, you know, but
okay.
What's different is you will have read the video. I mean, you not read the video, but you will have seen a video on the chapter that mm-hmm. corresponds with the chapter that's under discussion. So
okay.
You need to go back and look at the videos on the first three chapters. That'll catch you up.
Okay.
Then you okay. can go through, take your guidebook. I don't know if they sent that to you yet, but I sent them an email to do that. Take your guidebook.
Okay.
And if I were you, I'd put it in a notebook like this, and then
uh-huh.
I'd put tabs in it, 1 through 12, and
okay.
So that you can always have your guidebook handy with the chapter that corresponds with the discussion for that week. And then there's
okay.
going to be assignments, things that we're going to ask you to do each week to begin to fortify your learning. And you have my cell phone number, and if anything comes up,
yep.
you can ask me about anything. So we really
okay.
want to see this team really gel as a team and
mm-hmm.
board. So that's what I want to help you with.
Okay.
Now,
yeah, I think we have some great potential.
Yes, I do too. So how am I coming across? How's the coaching? How's the dynamic here?
It's good. I mean, some of this I've heard in the past. We followed it for a while, and then it kind of went by the wayside.
Okay.
So some of it's good to get back on track again. And, you know, looking at the book, we have a lot of dead weight in our book. Good. And, you know, things that just don't produce anything.
Right.
So we would work on, you know, slimming it down. And there's a lot of opportunities in there that I know we're missing. So I think that's something as a team we can go through. And as we ramp back up again,
right.
I think that'll help.
Okay.
And getting our individual, you know, we kind of did like Chuck took care of this and I took care of this. But then we added Gail in the mix last year over the summer. Right. Like this time last year, we started talking to her. So she came in and she didn't have a defined role.
Right.
So we need to now look at some of the roles now that she's a little more experienced.
That's
right.
She can
do some more. So we can figure that out a little bit.
Okay. We got to get to CA on some of these calls for 30 minutes a week. So that
okay.
She has got a full understanding of what you all are trying to accomplish and can help you with Supernova.
Okay.
So that would be...
Yeah, we'll talk to her and see if she can get it on her day. I know okay. She takes care of another team also, so we'll have to make sure she can fit it in her schedule.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Any questions
make
for
sure
me?
She arranges.
Any questions for me?
No, I think we're pretty good. If I get the videos, I'll go over them. I'll catch up on all that this weekend. And then next week, I'll be more prepared for the video. And now, this was my first Zoom call through my Morgan Stanley app, which I was having problems with the microphone and the thing.
Okay.
I could hear you guys. So,
okay, good.
I just was trying to figure out in the settings how to turn on the microphone and the video again. So,
okay. Well, I hope that this was a helpful session. We covered an awful lot. As you can see, I spent... an hour and a half today. Normally
right.
These sessions
so,
are going to run around 45 minutes. But
right.
I wanted to get you onboarded properly. Okay.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. And I think I took some notes. So, you know, we'll follow up and I'll follow up with Chuck and Gail.
Okay.
And we can get back on track again.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Okay, Peggy, you enjoy the rest of your day. Talk to you next
you
week.
Too.
Okay.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.